USANC Relations Direct from the House Foreign Affairs Committee, Washington think tank Hudson Institute, says SA's latest move against Taiwan further damages US-SA relations. Former SAPS General Johan Boysen shares insights into Cyril's long overdue suspension of advocate Andrew Schauke and the Trump administration to boost AI development in the United States. It's Thursday, the 24th of July. This is your Biz News Briefing. I'm Bronwyn Nielsen. As we know, the U.S. Congress is considering a bill to impose sanctions against some ANC leaders. The Foreign Affairs Committee approved the bill yesterday, with most of the lawmakers on the committee objecting to South Africa's close ties with Russia and China. Let's take a listen to the House Foreign Affairs Committee.
I want to voice my strong support for H.R. 2633, the U.S.-South Africa Bilateral Relations Review Act. This is a targeted and overdue response to troubling shifts in South Africa's foreign policy under the African National Congress. Let me be clear that this bill is not anti-South Africa. It is pro-accountability. For too long, we've watched a key partner drift closer to authoritarian regimes, conducting joint military drills with Russia, strengthening economic and cybersecurity ties with the Kremlin and Beijing, and aligning with efforts to de-dollarize the global economy. These actions raise serious questions about the ANC's alignment with the democratic values and U.S. interests. Even more alarming has been South Africa's posture following the October 7th Hamas attacks on Israel. The ANC's refusal to acknowledge those atrocities, its direct engagement with Hamas leadership, and its politicized case against Israel at the ICJ reflects a government that has turned away from principle and from its traditional role as a bridge between the global South and democratic norms. South Africa or any nation cannot conduct themselves in such a manner and expect the same quality of relationship with the United States of America.
Alec spoke to Joshua Mazurvi from the Hudson Institute for his take on the situation. Mazurvi says South Africa's latest move against Taiwan is another clear move against the United States.
Because Republicans control the House, because Republicans control the Senate, it's likely, it's not guaranteed, but likely that it would receive support, including, by the way, from Democrats. What's interesting, if you look at the voting out of the that just happened, out of markup, out of the committee, some Democrats supported it. So this is indeed a bipartisan issue.
Wow. That's a bit concerning. If you were trying to stop it, how would you do that?
Well, if I were the South African government, I would very quickly undertake some substantive reforms and course corrections that Washington, that people like myself and others, and including from within government, have been telling the ANC and the South African government that would help repair the relationship. Thus far, we've seen no such actions from the South African government or from the ANC. They just almost seem to continue to double down, continue to provoke, continue to communicate to the United States that they have no intention of changing any of their problematic behavior, that they are going to continue on. The most obvious and recent example of this is that they've now officially forced the Taiwan representation that was based in Pretoria, out of Pretoria, the political capital, obviously, and that comes on the heels of Paul Mashatile visiting Beijing, and then he came back either with his marching orders or just because he thought that was a way to further ingratiate himself and his government with the Chinese government and the Chinese Communist Party. So those types of things are noted with concern in the United States. And that specific issue of Taiwan actually came up during the debates on the markup. So these things do not go unnoticed. But unfortunately, we've seen nothing. The U.S. government has seen nothing. People who follow these issues closely, like myself and others, have seen nothing that suggests the South African government or the ANC is going to take any of the substantive changes that are necessary to prevent something like this bill or other actions from the United States to proceed.
Like a soapy breakup scene, selling your car can be an emotional experience.
Just how dramatic was the car selling experience?
Not dramatic at all. I did my research and We Buy Cars was by far the best price.
Very not dramatic. But I like drama.
I was standing there watching my phone, waiting for the money to get in, and there it was.
Yes. Car. Driving.
We Buy Cars. The easiest way to sell your car, by far.
I wouldn't mind a little more drama. Anybody bring me some tears?
That's life, that's what other people say. That's life, you're riding high.
On Monday, advocate Andrew Schauke was suspended. This after NPA head Shamila Batoi recommended nearly 2 years ago to Cyril Ramaphosa that Schauke be suspended. Alex spoke to SAPS General Johan Booysen, widely known as the honest cop who was publicly harassed and suspended for doing his job too well.
Of recent times, Advocate Shamila Batoi has made certain allegations with regards to the NPA being infiltrated. I would agree with her, but I would argue that they were already infiltrated at the time when I testified at the Zondo Commission of Inquiry. And then of late, we've also had the statements by the Provincial Commission of KwaZulu-Natal, General Mkhwanazi, making allegations of basically the whole judiciary that's been compromised. I think that in a way, and the fact that Advocate Batoi had requested the president 2 years ago to suspend Schauke, I think could have perhaps had a role to play, because the way I understand from the media, she was called in to explain herself, and I would venture a guess that she in all probability tell the president, look, I've recommended 2 years ago for this man to be suspended, and it's now 2 years down the line, and I think perhaps that prompted him to take this action now.
The Trump administration is aiming to boost artificial intelligence development in the U.S. by loosening regulations and expanding energy supply for data centers in a so-called AI action plan released by the White House on Wednesday. Ed Ludlow reports on Bloomberg Television.
It's 23 pages of policy framework, essentially, that is positioned to help what the administration would put it as America winning in AI. There's a heavy emphasis on the infrastructure requirements needed, particularly around energy and the energy needed for data center build out. But it goes a little bit further than that in talking about deregulation, essentially cutting red tape on the infrastructure side, accelerated permitting to give the compute power that is needed. The emphasis here today, which is an event co-hosted by the Hill and Valley Forum and the team from the All In podcast, is basically the idea that if America wants to lead in AI, it's going to need to be able to export the American technology stack. This is not a new idea. Jensen Huang, the NVIDIA CEO, has talked about it regularly. But the question is what specific actions are taken. And the expectation is not just that the president speaks here today, later this evening, but signs specific executive orders on those points. Other than that, there is a reference to beating out China, which won't come as any surprise to you, Vonnie. And then more curiously, for those that are involved in industry, an emphasis on open source AI, which does put into question kind of the field of private companies that are competing in the space.
Do we anticipate anything actionable coming out of the keynote address tonight? Will there be money, you know, pledged? And if so, what will that money do? There's only so much money you can throw at something. At some point, you have to actually create, right?
Yeah, something that's been in the news cycle a lot of late is concern about the Stargate project, which is OpenAI's big infrastructure build-out across multiple states. The financing of that, you'll remember early in the year, came in large part from SoftBank, and there are concerns in industry that SoftBank doesn't necessarily have the funds committed that it needs. On the executive order side of things and the president, you know, heavy emphasis on deregulation, allowing companies to move faster. You know, something that's observed to me here is that this administration, perhaps differently from Biden's administration, involves private industry heavily, right? You have David Sachs, the venture capitalist in place as the White House AI crypto and policy czar, and he is very prominent here, as well as guiding the president on policy. There are a number of CEOs here as well. But that cutting of the red tape and allowing those companies to move faster, that seems to be the heavy emphasis on a policy point that this administration will focus on.
At Sun Exchange, we make going solar simple, profitable, and completely risk-free. Join over 100 satisfied South African customers already enjoying the benefits of risk-free solar. Start saving today. Visit sunexchange.com and join the solar revolution.
Right now, you can get the cheapest Forex rate around, right here, on Shift. Pay less for your dollars, pounds, and euros here, and get to shop more here, and do more here, and enjoy more ooh-la-la here. Shift also lets you trade and transfer currencies, and buy shares in the world's best companies. It all happens right here, on Shift. You won't find a cheaper Forex rate anywhere else, no matter where you bank. Download the Shift app today.
MNTN CEO Mark Douglas says Google has to transition the entire company to AI solutions, and it has to do so flawlessly. Douglas adds that AI-powered ads are a major risk, and Google is showing it's willing to do whatever it takes to figure it out. He speaks to our colleagues on Bloomberg.
Well, I don't think YouTube really competes with Netflix. I think for most people I know, they use both. In other words, that YouTube has a lot of short-form content, mid-form, in terms of length, and Netflix are shows. They are big titles, new shows every week. It's professionally created. And so both can coexist, and both do coexist. Mm-hmm. I think YouTube is obviously doing really well in terms of, you know, number of hours spent on it. It's always, ironically, underperformed in terms of the revenue generated from it, because, you know, those pre-roll ads just honestly don't perform that well. They don't have great retention, things like that. But despite that, YouTube continues to grow the revenue moderately, I think 13% year over year in this quarter. So yeah, it plays a role. It's nowhere near as important as the search business. And I don't think it threatens the streaming business, certainly not Netflix. It's just, it's a compliment to the user in terms of how to consume content.
Fair enough. Just to stay with the YouTube revenue for a little bit here, it sounds like they have a couple of levers they could pull, though, if they wanted to increase monetization, certainly of those who do tune in.
Yeah, well, the big thing to look at YouTube, the customer base looks very different than the customer base for search, where search has this enormous long tail of small advertisers, obviously big brands also. YouTube just simply doesn't. I mean, most of the brands you see on there are larger brands. They're more brand advertisers. And so can they increase monetization? I think they can. I wouldn't be betting on it as an investor. I feel like with YouTube, just even broaden the conversation, every quarter is like waiting. Is this the quarter where, like, something catches up to them? Does AI catch up to them? Does, you know, maybe YouTube advertising slow a bit more and things like that? And so you're kind of always on the edge of your seat right now. And I think that, you know, getting out of that mode is the biggest thing facing the company. And honestly, the biggest thing I think facing anyone, investors in Google, is like getting out of that mode where what's going to happen this quarter? Is this going to be the quarter where reality catches up right now?
Mark, text-based advertising is the biggest contributor to its top line. Is that too much of a concentration risk? Does it need to do something about that to assuage investors?
Yeah, I mean, that, I think that speaks exactly to what I was just referring to. Is so that, you know, obviously search continues to be vitally important to literally millions of businesses, and all of these business, Google has to somehow transition all of these companies onto their AI solution, and they have to do it flawlessly in order to not disappoint both their customers and then ultimately their investors. And so, yeah, I mean, it's inevitable. It's still going to be text-based ads in the form of AI ads. I mean, they could be audio, like your AI is literally talking, Gemini is literally talking to you. But it's just a huge risk. And I think they're showing that they're going to do whatever it takes to figure it out and to, and not only survive, but to thrive. But it's going to require flawless execution.
DVX Ventures co-founder and former Tesla executive Karim Bousta says Tesla is now behind in many aspects. Its new business model and car manufacturing, doing both at the same time, pose a major challenge for the company. He speaks with Scarlett Fu and Vonnie Quinn on Bloomberg's The Close.
I don't think we can talk about discounting. I think if you look at the history of Tesla, it's very clear that everything, all the great things that have happened at Tesla, the innovation, the incredible products, the success that the company had over the past decade, it all comes down from Elon's product vision, his very powerful vision, his strategy, and his leadership, and his ability to bring great talent into the company. I don't think these things have disappeared. There's a lot of headwinds, as you mentioned, that the company has to deal with, essentially because of the increased competition. There's incredible competition going on. That's what Tesla has to deal with. They have to go back to the roots of what has made them successful, which is creating amazing products and services that customers love. So
sure.
I think it is going to be interesting to see if they're able to go back to this, what has made them successful.
Just on that point, though, you know, everything you say may be true about how this is all down to Elon Musk and so on. But if you look at Apple, for example, you know, we had Steve Jobs, but then Tim Cook came, took over, and the stock has never fared better. Couldn't that also happen at Tesla?
I think the decision and the assessment in terms of what needs to be done from a leadership standpoint, this all belongs to the Tesla board and the Tesla shareholders. It's up to them, based on the information they have from the inside, to determine what the best course is for the company. What we know for sure is that when you look at creating amazing product and creating amazing services and solutions, there's no better person that we know of than Elon at this time.
Is the car still the amazing product, though? They haven't really refreshed the lineup in a while, and all talk of this lower-priced EV has been just that, all talk. We haven't really seen any concrete plans on when they're going to release any of that.
Yeah, and this, you're making an excellent point. This is really the key issue for me when I look at Tesla's future. The vehicle lineup is becoming old. Competition has caught up. On many aspects, Tesla is now behind. And it's going to take a lot of effort and a lot of time and resources and energy for them to catch up on all these amazing competitions that we're seeing from the US, from European, and from Asian competitors in China, Korea, etc. So that's going to be something we're going to need to watch. Is the company able to go back to these innovative routes and launch new products to replace the ones that, frankly, are becoming quite old right now and are falling behind this amazing competition that they're dealing with.
That brings us to the end of this BizNews briefing. We'll be back on Monday with more context on the global and local front. Thanks, as always, for joining us, and have a great weekend.